from Vermont Public. This is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Wednesday, January 11th. Here are today's headlines.
Staff and incarcerated people at the state prison in Springfield have high levels of anxiety, stress, and suicidal thoughts. That's according to a new survey that looks at health and well-being inside the prison. Abby Crocker is a professor at the University of Vermont and one of the project researchers.
The rates of suicidal ideation for both staff and incarcerated, and what we saw in the 2022 survey for staff was that rate was 30%. And for incarcerated, it was 37%.
Department of Corrections officials say they plan to make more mental health supports available for staff. DOC says it'll also increase mental health services for incarcerated people through a new medical services contract, which is expected this summer.
In other criminal justice news, a Shelburne police officer used excessive force on a teenager last year, according to a county prosecutor and an internal affairs investigation. During a traffic stop last January, Corporal John Marcoux struck a teenager who was handcuffed in the back of his cruiser after she spat on him. That's according to a video first published by the Shelburne News and VT Digger. It's unlikely that Marcoux will face criminal charges. Chittenden County State's Attorney Sarah George said in an email that she believed there was probable cause, but she has few options to bring a charge without law enforcement support. However, an internal investigation by Shelburne Police found Marcoux did use unreasonable force and violated several department policies. The department's chief refused to say if Marcoux was disciplined. Marcoux, who's back on the job, didn't respond to a request for comment.
Developers in Burlington will no longer be required to include a minimum number of parking spots with new buildings. That's after a vote by the city council this week. Supporters of the ordinance say the move will reduce climate impacts from cars and eliminate a barrier to constructing new housing units. Councillor Ben Travers says the measure is an opportunity to invest in more eco-friendly transportation options.
The proposed ordinance still includes transportation demand management, or TDM, provisions designed to further limit dependency on single-occupancy vehicles while promoting increased bus ridership, car share membership, cycling, and other alternative modes of transportation.
A similar measure is already in effect in Burlington's downtown.
And remember that storm right before Christmas? Turns out there weren't just power shortages because of the weather. Several power plants scheduled to feed the region's grid didn't come through. Those plants now face $39 million in fines for not fulfilling an agreement with grid operator ISO New England, USA Today reports. The lack of available power on Christmas Eve coincided with widespread outages across New England tied to the stormy weather. There were more than 75,000 outages in Vermont on the Friday before Christmas Eve. Wind speeds topped 70 miles per hour in Burlington that day, part of one of the most damaging storms the state has seen in several years.
Coming up, how a group in southern Vermont is working to address the housing crisis. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
Vermont is investing hundreds of millions of dollars into building more housing. And for the most part, projects are getting underway in larger towns and cities. But there's a group of small towns in southern Vermont that say the need is just as strong in their communities, and they're tackling the problem one home at a time. Our colleague Howard Weiss-Tisman explains.
Wow, it was made short, right? It was made tight?
Yeah.
Okay, if I move this over an eighth, it'll be exact.
Okay. 138.
Winter's here, and so the members of the Mountain Towns Housing Project are putting their dream on hold for a few months.
So this will kind of seal kind of the whole foundation and have it be protected, you know, during the snows in the winter and everything like that.
Paul Alcorn is one of about a half dozen volunteers who came out on this chilly December afternoon to work on a small house that's going up in Londonderry. The foundation was poured this summer, and while the organization still needs to raise about $140,000 to finish the rest of the house, this group came out today to pound nails, saw boards, and cap off the basement until next year. It was about a year ago that a local family donated just under 2 acres to the cause. The landowners, who have remained anonymous, attended a presentation by Habitat for Humanity, the national organization that builds homes using volunteer labor and donations. Alcorn says before the land donation, there was not an organized local effort to build an affordable home here in Londonderry.
We're really envisioning this as a community build, and we think other people in the community will be just very interested to come and, you know, help paint clapboard, help, you know, put in insulation, help with all of those things that people like you and me, you know, can do to help make the house affordable.
The group is working with the nearby Wyndham Windsor Housing Trust, which has an established selection process based on income and other factors. And the new homeowner will also receive help applying for grants and mortgage assistance. And Alcorn says the money from the sale of the house will be used to invest in a second project, which he hopes to get off the ground as soon as possible.
This is community people sitting down around a table to say, how as a community can we do something to begin to respond to this problem? Is it the end-all solution to the housing crisis crunch in Vermont? Probably not. But here in one small space, a group of community people have said, we're going to do something. Rather than just sit and talk about it, worry about it, complain about it, let's go out and pound nails.
The folks involved with this project live in the small towns that dot the nearby ski areas. They're from places like Ludlow, Weston, Andover, and here in Londonderry. Resort towns that have seen a larger than average increase in home values during the pandemic, according to the Vermont Housing Finance Agency. I left the home site and drove about a half mile down the hill into town to talk about housing with shoppers at the Londonderry Village Market. I ran into Bob Maisie, a real estate broker who lives in Londonderry. Maisie says supply remains incredibly tight.
I was just showing one house in Peru that's on the market, and just got done doing that. And there's just no inventory. I have plenty of buyers that are looking for houses, but there's no inventory at all.
Home values jumped by almost 20% since 2019, according to state tax records. And Maisie says the mountain town's housing market was hit particularly hard by the pandemic.
Over the pandemic, all the people from outside the state have come, bought up, you know, a lot of the rental properties and stuff, and they rent them as Airbnbs, which have taken that stock off the market. That was, in the past, maybe somebody would rent to an employee at one of the resorts that are nearby, and those houses are not available anymore for that.
Sarah Hadley says she and her husband almost gave up after looking about 2 years in the area. They eventually found a place after a friend connected them with a seller. But Hadley says others who are still looking see little hope on the horizon.
We look around sometimes because we have a lot of friends in the area that are looking for houses, even to rent. And it's not easy. Anything that, let's just call it under $300,000, was either in really bad shape, needed like a new septic, things like that, or they were on the market for a really short time, or the houses are, you know, getting toward the $1 million range, where at least the people that I'm close with can't afford homes like that.
The town of Londonderry is trying to address the crisis. They just completed a housing survey, and like a lot of towns in Vermont, local officials are looking at the zoning regs in town to see if they can tweak housing codes to make it easier to develop properties. But those fixes will take time. Up on the hill, volunteers are building one single home to move the needle even a little. Cynthia Gubb, another one of the volunteers, has seen housing projects going up around the state and the millions of federal COVID relief money that's funding the housing. She understands that towns like Londonderry won't see big projects like that right away. So she says the group here is just moving ahead on its own, and she hopes it's not a one-time experience.
We live in a rural area. We don't have community septic. We're not on a transportation line. So the infrastructure is not there to develop something larger, but we can build one house and then build another one. We'll have a template once this is done of how to do it, what to do and what not to do, so we can do it again and hopefully more efficiently and more effectively. So it's a place to start. It's that one step.
The Mountain Towns Housing Project is trying to raise enough money in the next few weeks to order the shell so it can be delivered in early spring. Gov says volunteers will be out when the weather warms up to continue work and start on landscaping the property. For Vermont Public, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. Today, we had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Marlon Hyde, and Kevin Trevelin.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.